If you would turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, what I'm going to do is put together Jesse's teaching and Gary's teaching so that we come away with a better understanding as to what the Lord is saying to streams and where we're heading so that we have understanding. And this title of this message is called Victory Over the Storms of Life. Are we there at Hebrews 12? We're going to start at verse 2 and finish at verse 11. The author says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." All of us will go or are going through a storm at this particular time. Myself included, when Satan tried to take me out, and it's taken 2 months to recover from that attack. But God is so great in his mercy that he has shown me some things that we need to bring clarity to. And one of that is that all of us are going to go through tough times. And in those tough times, God is trying to show us or teach us through these trials, whether they're natural or spiritual, sometimes both, the lessons of discipline. And what he tries to do is show us that that in this tough time, he reveals who we are, but most importantly, he reveals what is in us. And those of us who prepare for these tough times, because Scripture says it is a wise man that sees the day of destruction coming, who prepares for it. Those who prepare for them, it becomes more tolerable for them to go through this process because they understand the process that God is trying to do, and he's trying to bring discipline into our lives. And it's all of us, not just some, but all of us will go through this discipline of life. And for those who try to circumvent, who try to live their life as though they still are in control, there are consequences. And those consequences are severe when they have to be dealt with. That doesn't make them any less than a son or a daughter. It just means that they're not disciplined. And God is about everything being disciplined in decency and in order. Amen? Even me. And through this stuff, I've had to learn some new disciplines for my life. And it was commented the other night. We had dinner guests over, and the daughter poured gravy on our tablecloth. And I looked at her and I said, wow, kind of missing the plate a little bit. And the comment was, wow, you did that so well. Because an element of perfectionism is that you don't want your stuff messed up. And God, I've been crying out to God to take this junk out of me so that I could be more at ease and more at peace. And the individual who saw this saw some of that fruit already being produced. And that's to God's glory. That is not to me. But the funny thing about storms that happen in our lives is that if we are not prepared, or even if we are prepared, they require our immediate and undivided attention. Isn't that the way it is? With our kids, it seems like everything's an emergency, and it requires our immediate and undivided attention. They're designed to disrupt our daily lives, to damage our plans, to impede our routines, and most importantly, steal our time. Nothing's more important than that emergency being focused. And our Father is about that. He's about redeeming that time in such a way that what we sacrifice to Him and to His glory, He always gives back more than what we sacrifice to Him. Amen? And the blessing that God uses is to teach us and to bring us into discipline in this lesson is to get to know you better. It's to get to know what's in you. And every time these storms come up, generally, it's not real pretty. Right? And this is what God is trying to show us in how much more work needs to be done by His hand in our lives to reflect His Son, Jesus Christ. He uses these situations to purge out the impurities of our lives so that we reflect Jesus Christ. Just like in that little example I gave about myself. Because it doesn't matter how we react. All that matters is we respond in grace and in good seed, as Irene says. Because they don't know any better. And we should. I should. And so, these trials that come in is for the perfecting of our faith so that we can look more like Jesus and less like ourselves. And when these come and it's been revealed to us, it gives us a great opportunity to repent. And that simply is just agreeing with God. We messed up. Turning away and forsaking that and begin to learn the lessons that He's taught us or is trying to teach us so that we can be perfected in our faith and do the things that He simply requires of us. Now, the teaching may seem harsh and it may seem like I like to use this analogy that we're constantly going around the mountain, constantly having Kanish Barnea. Well, if you would just die to yourself and learn the lesson, that's not saying you're not going to have to go around the mountain, but what it's saying is that you learn that lesson. And you're not going to learn any other lesson until you learn that lesson that He wants you to learn. Because He builds our lives line upon line, precept upon precept. And once we have those things set in, now it's up to us to maintain that. Just because we learned a lesson and we got a passing grade doesn't mean we forget about it. It becomes part of us as He becomes part of us. And God allows these storms to come in to change our attitudes, to change our habits, to change our behaviors, to establish Christ in you, the hope of glory. It doesn't matter how other people act. It doesn't matter how they behave. It doesn't even matter what they say or do to you or to me. What matters is how we respond. I just finished up a book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I read with this thought in mind that most of these people who were persecuted for the faith won against the Antichrist church at the time. And that was because they were teaching heresy according to the Catholic Church. They were teaching heresies, and their reward was torture in various dungeons, beaten, flogged, stripped of title and decency, and then burned at the stake. Those who were at the stake relished. They held on to the pile of sticks, and they embraced that, and they sang praises unto God. And what they did in return, those who were supposed to be protectors of the faith, quickly put a heated iron into their mouth to cause their tongues to swell up, so they would not praise God. And this is what Scripture says: you haven't suffered unto death. You see, change always leads us to grow spiritually. Always. And God's about changing our lives. But it only occurs when we acknowledge Him as Lord. Now, most of us say, well, you know, He's my Savior and He's my Lord. But the reality of Lordship is what I had taught about kingdom. And that was, you give up your rights. You give up your privileges. You give up everything because the Lord owns it, including you. And what we do is, we want Him as Savior. We want to go to heaven. We want to be able to have this redemptive process go through. But we don't want Him as Lord. And Lordship acknowledges that He's in control of every situation. I had to learn that He's in control. And it gave the church an opportunity to begin to serve in a higher capacity in which I could not serve. It gave the opportunity for everyone who was saying to me, Pastor, I got this. Pastor, I got that. Sit down, Pastor. Take a load off. It became the reality because I had to give it to Him. I had to trust that what God was doing with individuals who were now rising up to this test that I was going through would actually perform the duties that had to be done. And it really showed and revealed to me that God was in control of all this. And that the pain and the suffering that I had to endure was actually to glorify our Father, so that you guys could rise to a level of maturity that you had never known and be released to do those things. It's more than just tell me what I need to do. It's more than just doing some function. It is a work of the heart that God is after. It is saying, I have been prepared to do this, Pastor. Let me do it. Turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. God is so good that He has made provision for His church. And starting in verse 11, and we should know this, and He Himself gave some to be apostles and prophets, evangelists and teachers, and for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. My job was not to hold back that responsibility that God had given to the church. My job was to release it to you. And in releasing this, this storm that was in my life was actually the fulfillment of that scripture. Because you guys were responding with a heart of love through Jesus Christ and His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to continue to perpetuate the ministry, to continue to move forward, which is what this is about. It's about the church responding to those who are going through these things in such a way that they come alongside and they lift that person up and they walk with them until they're able to walk again. Walk in the midst of the storms of their lives. And you guys do that. It also speaks about the unity, the fellowshipping of one another. And I see it every Sunday when you guys don't want to go home, which is a testament to the Spirit of God. It's, you know, and I relish that. I observe and I see what God's doing, and I truly see that we don't have a clique here, because I would break that clique up. But what we have is a family. A family that truly loves each other and wants the good for each other and figure out a way that in those storms, no matter what's going on, how we can serve each other. And I'm blessed by that. I truly am blessed because the examples that Irene and I have set for you guys are walking in. And that makes us proud. Because you see, in giving these gifts to people, I want to break it down to even something less, not less, but of same importance, is the need for spiritual fathers and mothers in the church. And we're your spiritual mothers and fathers. And what happens is God, the Father, gives wisdom to us through these trials and tribulations. But spiritual mothers and fathers give the practical application of that wisdom through these trials so that you can endure. And that's the beauty of this disciple process. It is the intertwining of our lives. It is truly, genuinely wanting the best for you so that you can be the best for Him and serve Him the best that you possibly know. And it has nothing to do with what our neighbor is doing or saying or treating us or whatever. It has everything to do with how we respond in a spirit of righteousness and holiness and peace, which is the kingdom of God. And you have the kingdom of God richly dwelling in each one of you. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand that, you know, I have difficult situations. And that's what grace is about. Grace is given when we're about ready to give up. Grace is given to help us go through those times. Grace is given so that mercy can be meted out to you by us locking arms with each other. It's saying that we'll go through these things together. Just as Jesus said, you know, He wasn't going to leave us or forsake us, even to the end of the age. He's there in the midst of us. Now, discipleship is the training process that brings the correction of maturity or immaturity. And how this happens is God uses many channels, spiritual mothers and fathers, to help be that example. He uses teachers and police officers to help us walk the straight and narrow. He uses our spouses and our parents to put good things into our lives. But most importantly, He uses our children to teach us. I can't tell you how much I've learned from my kids, especially this last couple months. And it's not just my natural kids, it's my spiritual kids. And watching you guys grow up into men and women of God. And I want to exhort you that where you are today, you're not going to be there next year. You're going to be even more mature. You're going to be even more like Christ. But you have to embrace Him as Lord. That's where the process goes. And when He brings us into these things or allows us to go through these things, it's the Lordship of Jesus Christ that brings us through these things. Savior just brings us to the doorway of adoption. But Lordship brings us through the threshold of discipleship. And that's what we're about. There's no escaping this process. None of us are going to escape it. Some of us think that we are. And like I said, the consequences are severe. Those who think that they can escape this process, also God uses individuals in this process. He will use our spouses. He will use our children, yes. But He will also use the court system. He will also use the legal system. He will use the police, credit cards, banks. He will use whoever He needs to use to bring us into a place of discipline so that we respond to His will, no longer doing our own. And some people have paid severely in those consequences. They have lived their life like God has no authority into their lives. Yeah, they attend church and they live in such a way that is so degrading to themselves, but yet so unglorifying to God. And God is trying to get your attention as well as the rest of our attention. Fivefold ministry are gifts given unto the body to establish your foundations. How we're supposed to act in the kingdom of God. They provide a Christ-centered worldview. And a lot of times we don't see properly. So God has to adjust us so that we can see how that stuff is going on. And having a Christ-centered worldview will be diametrically opposing to this worldview that's out there. It is anti-God and anti-Christian. That's all we need to know. But God has told us to go and make disciples of the nations. Those who don't want this, God uses them to change them from being childish, self-centered, disrespectful, uncivil, rebellious, and lacking self-control into a mature man and woman of God. They begin to rightly relate and keep people accountable. And accountability is really what a family's about. If you don't do your job, the family suffers. We call them chores. In the kingdom of God, all of us have a job to do, and there are chores for each one of us. And that doesn't mean we sit in the pew and let everybody else do it. What it means is we get out of the pew and we say, "What can I do to help?" That's really what it's about. And the longer we sit in the pews, the more immature we stay. And I want to tell you how proud I am of you guys, because you're not pew sitters. You guys get involved and really speak volumes to those who are not out there. And it's an accusation against the rest of the body of Christ not to be involved. They have bought into this lie of separation of church and state, which is not written. There's no reason for us not to be involved, and every reason for us to promote Jesus Christ, no matter what this world wants and no matter what this world says. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Amen? The problem is that in keeping us accountable to our attitudes, to our lack of responsibility, most importantly, fivefold, is to keep us on track to our commitment to Jesus Christ. My job is not to coddle you. My job is not to make friends with you, although we can be friends. My job is to make sure you become a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. We can be friends. We can do all that stuff. But if you're not doing what God has instructed me to be in your life for, you're the one that suffers, not me. And I want you to embrace this process. I want you to embrace Him as Lord. Because there's a world out there that needs us. And you're the answer that God has prescribed for it in these days. Sadly, the modern church is no closer to maturity than it was 2,000 years ago. Congregations are holding hostage their leaders. They dictate how they're to be treated. They're dictated by what they're taught. They're dictated by what degree of education they're to have. And this is kind of backwards. You know, it kind of goes against what God wants for His people. It's like the inmates telling the warden what they're doing is wrong when it's the inmates are the perpetrators of the crime. And for leaders who accept this type of behavior, they relegate their position to nothing more than a babysitting service so that immature believers can conduct themselves and argue over stupid things that have no real bearing on the kingdom of God. And we've not made an impression upon the world, nor will we. The Lord isn't asking His leaders to babysit, but rather to train and make disciples, to aggressively take authority and dominion for His eternal kingdom till He returns. Those who take their childish temper tantrums and exhibit adolescent behavior will be changed. But they'll be challenged in that changing. The mature will only go on to do His will. We must prepare for storms. They're going to come. And we have taken a lot of painstaking avenues to prepare you guys. And I had said to the leadership, when I wasn't feeling well and couldn't figure out what was going on, about the condition of this ministry and what needed to be done and how they were supposed to act in case something did happen. And something did happen shortly after that, and that was attacked by the enemy. We must reconcile that this world is hostile towards us and to our Father's kingdom. We must reconcile that we have a great call and an awesome commission that has to be fulfilled. You're the answer. God values each and every one of you. He loves you so much that He died on the cross to show you how much He loves you. And He loves me. And by His great mercy, He has kept me in the game. I count it as an honor and a privilege to be your pastor. And I don't take that responsibility lightly. I consider being a child of God even more so. And to represent Him is my highest goal. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has dealt with us according to our sins. He has not punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, and as He has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower in a field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembered it no more. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and those who fear Him, and His righteousness to His children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His host, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all His places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We should bless the Lord. We should not forget what He has done for us and what He asked of us. Has nothing less than a privilege and an honor to be part of His family and be part of His household. Embrace Him as Lord. Go through these trials and tribulations together, and you will come out more perfected in Jesus Christ than you had ever thought about before you even went in. Amen? Father, we just thank You for Your word. Your word is blessed forever and ever. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, O God. And we thank You, God, that we can embrace these storms because we are Your children. And You are actively involved in our lives. God, help us to represent You in a living way, God. That we would be full of grace on our lips and our actions would be filled with mercy. May we have compassion on those who are less unfortunate and those who walk in darkness. God, make us that city that sits upon a hill, a beacon to all those who are in need of a Savior. That, Father, we would speak of You in loving ways, Father. That, Father, that we have a living relationship with You, and we invite the world to be a part of it. Use streams, God, in a way that glorifies You until we gather again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.